Hey, everybody.
Hi, hello. Welcome back to Cereal from the Box.
My name's Gianna,
And I'm Marie.
and this is the show where you explore other opinions and choose which one is the right opinion. There's only one. Just kidding. But we also do wonderful things here, like celebrate diversity in all shapes, sizes, colors, forms, appearances, the whole rainbow of possibilities. And additionally, we are ready to go. Just us,
Yes,
once
we are.
again.
Yeah, we had so many lovely guests on over the past couple of episodes, but now it's just Gianna and I, and as she alluded, we will be sharing some of our juicy opinions on things that we've been seeing on the internet recently as it relates to eating disorders, eating disorder recovery,
It's
body
about to get
image, all that good.
fiery.
Just yes, very spicy.
We're going to Flavor Town, baby, and not in a good way.
But I was thinking before we do that, since we haven't done a little catch up in a while, would you like to do a little life update, G?
Yeah. So, I might go do more school for more performing arts.
So exciting.
Everyone needs a second performance certificate after completing a 4-year BFA in dance performance, which you have not used because of Corona. So it makes a lot of sense to get another one, because why not? Why not throw my money to the government and to the man? And also, just continuing to like figure myself out, self-discovery, some recently diagnosed as of like November,
Yeah,
December,
a couple of months ago.
ADHD journey has actually been going pretty well, like figuring stuff out, having a great time just with my brain.
One thing
Yes.
that has been most helpful to you, in terms of helping manage ADHD symptoms, go.
So first of all, was like getting a whiteboard and like putting it somewhere where I couldn't ignore it, because like I have to look at it. I can't just like, 'cause I have to go to my fridge to eat
Where do
the
you have it hanging?
like directly on my fridge.
Amazing.
Because my fridge faces my bed, like I live in a studio,
Yeah.
so it's right there every time I look up. And my boyfriend drew like the Phineas and Ferb Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Perry the Platypus on it,
I
so
love that.
like it's very adorable. And then also like having specific places for things, and like, so for example, like I got a little hook for my keys, so like
Nice.
I'm not gonna like see like, oh, I put my keys on the table, but like there's a mountain of stuff on the table. So like I have a hook for my keys. And yeah, just like trying to keep things clean in the moment has also been, because I know I'm not gonna go back and do it later. Like I'm not gonna go wash my
Yeah.
dishes after dinner. Like I'll wash while I'm, cooking.
That's so hard. I commend you for that.
It's so hard, but like it's so nice to come home and not have a pile of dishes.
Valid. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. I think that's it. And just like being honest with myself about things, like, don't do that. It won't be a good idea for you. Staying on track and like not fooling myself, like, oh yeah, you'll do it later. I'm like, nope, you will not.
I guess that is one thing about like having predictable behavior patterns. You can really remind yourself that you know what you're gonna do inevitably.
Yeah, and like, so the thing that is, I think, relevant to this show though is like when especially when like I started taking like medication, which helped a lot with like a lot of things, it sometimes like takes away your appetite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually was super helpful, even like in like a recovery standpoint of like, because I knew I might not feel hungry, but I have hours that I need to eat. So it's right. Like between 12 and 2 o'clock, you have to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Between, you know, 7 when you wake up and 10 o'clock, you have to eat something.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like a little snack, like you have to have something all the time between these hours, between these hours. And like having that schedule even, I think, has helped me to focus a bit more because, you know, it's just like easy to get to prioritize, like in my brain, like prioritize things and like, oh, I'll eat when I finish it. I'll eat when I finish it. And suddenly I'm hyper-focused and it's 6 hours later and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I am hungry. And now hangry.
Yeah.
So yeah, just having a schedule that I have to be
like diligent enough.
Yeah. Accountable for.
True. True, true, true.
So yeah.
Nice.
Woot woot.
Awesome. Very cool.
How about you? What's new? What's exciting?
Nothing's quite exciting, I would say. It is currently spring break, so I've been trying to get ahead on work, but it seems like that has not worked out. Oh, you know the article that I sent you that I wrote?
Yes.
Yeah, so for anyone listening, I spontaneously decided to write what I would call an article. It is probably more of like... I don't know, a think piece, a personal essay of sorts.
Some people would still say that's an article.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to label it, but it was written about how I view the intersection of veganism and eating disorder recovery. So I did submit it to be published at the Mighty, finally. The Mighty is a, I would say it's a, like a website that you can publish a bunch of different, like, you can publish articles, you can publish just, like, use it more like a blog kind of thing, interact with other community members, but it's specifically focused on, like, mental health and health issues. So you can write about, like, a variety of topics that fall within, like, several of those categories that they have. So I've seen other people write about, like, eating disorders on that platform before, so I felt like it might be the easiest, especially because it's really, really long. So, and I don't want to go through the effort of like...
Do you get paid for this or...
No, it's not paid. Hmm. No, like I didn't like officially like pitch anything or...
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you could still submit it to places unasked for.
Yeah, maybe. I guess like I was like talking over with one of our friends who is going into journalism and... It looks like in terms of like my options, I would have to kind of like significantly cut down the length of the article in order to be able to create like a viable pitch. Also, it's like a little backwards way of like approaching something. Like technically, you're not supposed to have it written before you put it anywhere. But hopefully within the next month or so, it'll be up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
we can link that in our bio.
Yeah. But I know, like, I mean, I always talk about it, like, here and there, about, like, how I'm vegan and things like that, but I have yet to make, like, an Instagram post or something like that, or talked about it more in depth on one of our episodes, so I feel like that might be a good comprehensive way, if anyone is interested in that topic or that topic.
It's very good. It's a really nice piece.
Thanks. I revised
article
it, like,
or not.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's a good piece.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one thing that I've done over spring break was worked on that and submitted it. I'm trying to apply for a job right now.
What job?
The job that I'm currently looking at is like not really.
Is it in Maryland?
It's split between DC and like the Bay Area.
Oh, My heart is broken.
I know. Part of me is like super excited.
No one will move to New York to be near me.
I want to. I was looking at places in New York, but like this one was kind of really out of left field for me. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't like a standard like clinical social work placement
job. What is it?
It's with a like organization that promotes restorative justice in terms of like the criminal justice system. So it seems really, really cool.
I'm so excited.
So yeah, I'm working on applying for that. So yeah, which is, I mean, like good for me because like I've been in a huge rut and I've had like a lot of anxiety and fear about entering the working world and like not being competent enough to do so.
I was talking to my mom yesterday and she was literally like, yeah, I feel like Marie, like out of all your friends, like she's going to be fine. Like she works so hard. I was like, Mom, like all my friends have jobs. She's like, oh, yeah. Really? I was like, what do you think they're doing?
Oh, Claudia.
Floundering? She's like, yeah, you know, that Marie, she well. Really, she really like, you know, she's got it together.
Your mom has too much faith in me.
Oh, you're smart. You're a smart person. Like, if someone asks you to make a copy, you're not going to, like, you know, be inept. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like, I don't know, entry-level jobs is a lot of, like, can you make a copy of this? Can you fill out this form?
Well, I mean, ideally, if I followed along with the chosen career path that I've been going for myself, which would mean that I'd be doing some level of therapeutic services for people, I would get a caseload right from the get-go on.
Really?
And jump in. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, like kind of what I'm doing in my field placement now.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Masters, it changes the game.
Oh,
just kidding. I don't like how our education system works. And I had a whole conversation with a friend about how jobs and paying and none of it makes sense. Anyways.
Anyway, here
so
we
that's
are.
That's me. So, like we said earlier, we're going to spill a little tea today. And by that, I mean, I got really angry when viewing things on social media that feel like was just being a disservice to raising awareness about eating disorders and things along that lines and recovery. And I feel like this happens like a lot on social media, right? Like you have really good spaces that are so positive, help spread awareness and things like that. But then at the same time, you have both, you know, individual creators on like social media, but then also like these larger companies or organizations, I guess, I don't really know what to call them, that are also kind of like just promoting things that I feel like further contribute to stigma.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why? Like, stop spreading the lies.
Yeah, well, I don't know why. I cannot explain what goes.
Especially, like, on a platform like TikTok, where it's, like, you know kids are watching this. And it's, like, you really want to put that into their mind from a young age. Like,
I really don't think people, like, understand that it's, like, it might be damaging. Mm-hmm. Or might, like, not see my perspective and, like, why I take issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, like, well, I guess let's jump into it. We can further explain with examples where my frustrations are coming from. But I wanted to start with this Snapchat story that I found. I guess, so technically, I guess this was all the way back last month. Oh, my. But it was on the Telegraph. And so, like, you know how Snapchat has, like, the stories section? And so there's, like, Daily Mail and other, like, shit
publications. I, like, never look there, and I get all my news from you. You're always like, did you see this? And I'm like, what?
And where am I looking? On Snapchat. No, just kidding.
That's the hard-hitting news.
It's really... Snapchat is one of those social medias where, like, you've already been scrolling everywhere else for hours. and you just need another outlet. My attention span's like really short these days, so I feel like I switch around between apps like quite frequently. So I so happened to be looking at the story section of Snapchat, and the Telegraph had posted something. I think that it caught my eye, and that's what I looked it up. So it says, I took like screenshots of some of it, but it was an article, I guess, or a couple of like Snap stories about this runner named Bobby Clay. So like the little headline is, at 20, Bobby Clay was told by doctors she'd never have children. The British middle distance runner was tipped to be athletics next big star, but she was diagnosed with osteoporosis, a result of years of overtraining and undereating. It meant she hadn't started her periods. So the
Shocking. What a female athlete with extreme malnutrition. What?
Unfortunately,
what?
Like
a runner. What?
Too common. It is too common, unfortunately. And the first like yellow flag for me, honestly, was how all over the place this description is. Like, I speak to this from when I was like in treatment. I was lucky enough to get a bone density scan in order to check if I had, you know, developed like any of these issues, osteoporosis, osteopenia. I was luckily fine. However, like, I think there's just like a lot of conflicting and confusing information in like this like screen grabber before like the article anyways. So does it make sense in terms of like overtraining, under eating leading to osteoporosis? Yes, of course it does. I don't know if that's like common knowledge to everybody, but that is definitely one of the main like physical health risks that you have to look out for when it comes to eating disorders.
Yeah, like definitely when I was at Purchase, we had an athletic trainer and she's like super nice, way better than the stupid school nutritionist, but I digress. She would always tell everyone like eat yogurt, eat dairy. Like if you weren't eating like dairy products, she'd be like, find stuff that has a lot of calcium, like make sure your almond milk is, because oat milk wasn't a thing yet. So it's like, make sure your almond milk is fortified.
Yeah.
Like, because their dancers are so prone to like having a bit of malnutrition or like so much like stress fractures. Like so many of my classmates had stress fractures, like especially on like their feet and stuff. And like, Noam, my boyfriend, said that in the army, in the Israeli army, a lot of girls, and like a lot of, not just girls, but like a lot of the soldiers, especially the young ones, had a lot of injuries from malnutrition because they didn't know how to feed themselves. They didn't like the army food, so they just wouldn't eat it.
Oh, no.
Because it's apparently really bad. Like, sorry, any IDF people out there who liked it. Noam did not. I mean, he's not picky. You know, he would eat out of a garbage can.
Yeah.
It was horrible. He's like, the food sucked. But like, they would make like, he would make his, because he was like a, I don't know, commander of something or other. Mm-hmm. All of his soldiers, he would like force them to eat yogurt and stuff because he didn't want anyone getting injured, like stress fractures.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I think, with like athletic things in particular, like obviously you run a lot higher of a risk of having these issues because like, you know, your sport is your life, right, to some degree. So
I guess for people that go into like athletic field, like sports, dance, acting, it's like because you literally don't, you can't do anything else. Like,
yeah. And then also like people, if
you can think of something else to do that instead, you know.
Yeah. Because if you're working at, like, an elite level, too, like, I don't know why the first thing that jumped in my head is, like, Simone Biles and, like, Olympic sports. But, like, gymnastics, like, they train for multiple hours a day. You know?
And that's why they're actually really short, most gymnasts, because their bones condense from
being. Really?
Yeah, and, like, also, for example, like, my feet are smaller than they probably would have been because of wearing pointe shoes. My feet stopped growing after I started wearing pointe shoes.
So interesting.
Even though, like, I think proportionally to my body, they should grow a little bit more. But, like, you know, just...
What size are you?
I'm a 7.5, but, like, you know, which is, like, an average size. But, like, yeah. I think the length of my limbs suggests... Like, my hands touch my knees. You should have had bigger feet. My hands touch my knees. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, or even, like, when I took time off of dancing, it actually grew, like, 1/2 inch.
That's wild. Wow. Science.
But then also, Gabrielle, my sister, who we interviewed a few weeks ago, she has actually, since she's been in, like, more of a consistent recovery, she's actually grown, like, 2 inches as, like, an adult.
That is the most wild thing I've ever like, heard. Like, it makes sense. But...
She was shorter than me, even though her limbs were, like, really long and lanky. She was shorter than me. And now she's the same height as me.
Did you drop something, Gianna?
Yes.
Okay, for everyone listening, Gianna dropped something, and that's why there was a weird
pause. I dropped a piece of yogurt on the floor. I was holding the spoon and gesturing emphatically. It fell down. Give me a moment.
We were really both just so shocked. So going back to what the SoundChat article is, I know what osteoporosis is, but this story does not define osteoporosis, which I'm going to explain it very poorly because I do not have the definition pulled up in front of me, but it's basically your bone density significantly decreases due to like the lack of nutrition, you don't have enough calcium storage, things like
also
that.
If you smoke, right? If you smoke cigarettes.
I have no idea. I cannot confirm or deny that.
I thought so.
Maybe. Well,
or like if you have secondhand smoke or something, like if you are like a baby.
Really?
I don't know. Mean, I'm asking.
I don't know. I have
don't
no
listen
idea.
To me. I'm not the science behind this operation. I'm the charm, and the wit. Just kidding. It's also free. I'm just here for the shits.
Yeah, I definitely don't know. But I do know that if you overtrain and you undereat, it's definitely a risk. But they don't explain what osteoporosis is. And then it says it meant she hadn't started her periods. That is not what osteoporosis means. I know I'm being very literal with how I'm reading this. Not having your periods definitely can contribute to bone issues. I know that because my OBGYN told me that. Like periods help you, like, I don't know, calcium reabsorption, bones. I don't know. I took anatomy once, twice, maybe 3 times. Anyways, so a couple other things that it said. So, like, it had a whole article, which I did not save. But then it had these, like, quizzes. And it would be, like, for example, disordered eating, missing periods, and low bone density are all signs of being an elite athlete. And then you'd, like, answer true or false. What do you think I answered, Gianna?
False, because you can not have these problems and still be an athlete. You could like know how to take care of yourself or like have recovered.
Exactly. But they were like, no, it's true. What is that? Like, I feel like that's sending the message of like, you're not an elite athlete unless you're missing your periods.
If you fucking hate yourself, you're doing it right.
I just don't understand. Cause I think like I did kind of read the article a little bit and I remember, I don't know if this is what she said or if I've heard it from somewhere else, but I do know like missing your periods, especially like when you're an athlete, it's kind of like encouraged in a way, or like it's seen as like definitely seen as like kind of like normal. And I mean anyone that has a period knows that, like, you know, the world would be better if we didn't have them.
You know what, I do agree with you, but also I do like just knowing that, you know, not cooking anything in the oven. Like, nothing's up there.
But I think reassuring. Also, yeah, like, but a lot of these athletes start really, really young, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
especially, like, in high school, if you think, like, in high school, do you think, like, you would have wanted your period? Or, like...
Absolutely not. Listen to me. I was the person that, like, bled on a chair on the first day of school.
Oh, my God.
That was me. That was me, and then, like, someone took a picture of it and was like, LOL, and I was like,
no way.
Yes.
That's so awful. That happened
so
to
hilarious.
Me as well.
But he didn't know it was me. Like, they didn't know who it was. It was so funny. Like, a group of guys, like, posed around this chair and took a picture, put it on Instagram, and I saw it later, and I was like, oh, well, it's me.
That's traumatic. Oh, my God. What? Wow.
Loved it for me. Whoop. Anyways, like,
yeah.
I feel like, first of all, my friends are crazy. Like, my dance friends, like, I got a text from one of them yesterday, like, in our group chat that we still have, that's like, I still can't believe that none of us got pregnant. So, like, having your period was not frowned upon in our circle, at least. And, like, at Purchase, too, like, if you stopped getting your period, like, people would, like, be really worried about you.
I mean, as you kind of should be.
You know, it wouldn't be something honest. That people would be like, wow, that's so great. Like, they'd be like, yo,
yeah.
Like, there's something wrong with you.
I think, like, I don't know if I'm misquoting this because, like I said, I don't have the article in front of me, but I feel like when she was talking about her experience, like, especially in her younger years, like teen years, like not getting your period and kind of staying in a child's body more or less, is kind of more encouraged maybe by, like, and not encourage, I don't know if encourage is a word, but, like, for sure normalized. Like, that's okay if you don't get it, because, you know, it means, like, you're pushing your body really hard. And I just, like, obviously feel like we should normalize elite athletes being able to have a healthy relationship with food, being able to fuel their body properly so that they can do the work that they're doing, you know?
And I think that, like, that's a big thing now that a lot of athletes are doing, like, and even celebrities too, kind of, even though it's a little different because they can afford to, like, pay for trainers and private chefs and stuff, but, like, a lot of athletes actually don't get paid until they win.
Interesting.
So they're like, because I was reading, like, some people, like, when they're training for the Olympics, they're, like, broke because they don't have sponsors until they start winning trials and stuff.
Wow.
So, like,
that's wild.
You know, but I feel like it's frowned upon if you're an elite athlete now because you're, like, a role model, supposedly, right? Especially a female elite athlete. Oh, wow, breaking the gender. Even it's a women's sport. Mm. Oh, you're breaking the gender boundaries. You play a sport.
Right, and, like, the glass ceiling is coming down.
Oh, shattering around me in pieces.
Right.
Like, if a woman, like, was like, yeah, I don't get my period, they'd be like, you're such a bad role model for girls. Like, how, like, dare you? You know, I think now, especially, like, where people are waking up to diet culture and, like, realizing it's, like, so harmful.
Yeah.
I don't think an athlete could get away with it right now, like, anymore.
Well, I guess that's what I'm thinking is, like, maybe also, like, it's, quote-unquote, normalized, but it's also, like, hush-hush. Like, I'm thinking a while ago we were talking about, like, sports and eating disorders in one of our episodes, and I mentioned Shawn Johnson and how, like, she was encouraged by her coaches to get fit in unhealthy ways, right? But at the same time, like, the public didn't know that that's what she was going through. The public didn't know, like, her strife with body image and eating disorder and things like that. So I don't know. Like, it seems like a really, like, just weird intersection. And kind of similarly, like, in one of the other screenshots that I had taken for this is, like, another quiz question. It's normal for sportswomen to continually miss their period. And also, I'm telling this because obviously you can't see it, but they, like, italicize normal and continually, like, put extra emphasis on that. And it's, like, something may be unfortunately common, but that doesn't mean it should be common. You know what I mean?
Right.
To
go back, though, like, you're saying, like, about, like, Shawn Johnson and her coach, and, like, what was that, like, 2006?
Yeah, probably early 2000s, I don't know exactly.
Because I had, like, a similar thing happen. So, like, a teacher of mine kind of, like, was like, hey, like, you know, whatever. But then what happened was one of her students almost died. Two of her students almost died. And now she's totally turned around. You know, now she's, like, take care of herself. Yeah. So I really think it's just, like, waking up to, like, oh, wow, like these are kids and I'm putting them in harm's way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So that is my collective summation, like, of what I saw.
No, and it, like, shouldn't be normal for, like, no one should think it's normal. You shouldn't put that idea in people's heads.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then someone's like, oh, well, I want to be an elite athlete. Should I try to do this to me? And it's like, don't be dumb. But, like, if you're reading the tabloids, like, you could either be, like, us and, like, criticizing them, or you could be, like, have two brain cells and be like, oh, this is okay. Yeah, for sure, it's truth.
Well, I mean, like, we might be able to critique it because we're coming from a place where we've already done the work to be able to identify and then unlearn how pervasive diet culture and all these other things are. And obviously, this is a more unique circumstance because I'm pretty sure, like, from what I remember reading, like, her under-eating didn't like, it wasn't necessarily related to, like, a body image issue or anything like that. I don't know exactly why she was under-eating, but obviously it's a lot easier when you're overworking yourself
or having
to work yourself on an elite level to, if you're not being conscious enough, and I'm trying not to say this from a place of authority because clearly I'm not, like, an elite athlete, but I do feel like it takes some level of, like, kind of like how you're managing your ADHD and, like,
yeah,
and things like that, like, by creating a schedule for yourself to make sure that you are eating enough, because if you're spending so much time, you know, expending energy through your sport, I'm sure like the day goes by pretty quickly and then you just end up under fueling even by accident.
That's,
so I don't
what
know
the,
if, like,
athletic trainer at Purchase would, like, she'd recommend, like, us to have snacks in her bag and, like, try to have things that are, like, and it's not, kind of, that's the part where you can't be intuitive eating because you have to plan foods that are going to sustain you.
Part of intuitive eating, right? Like, kind of coming in with your nutrition knowledge to be able to, like, ensure that, like, you're getting your body's needs met, even if, like, you're not fully getting those signals from your body.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to read about, like, what, like, famous ballet dancers eat in a day.
Because
it's not what people would expect, you know?
A good way or a bad way?
In a good way. It's, like, you know, it's not just, like, you know, what someone might assume about a professional dancer is, like, always, like, lots of fats and, like, protein sources and and, like, plenty of carbohydrates and, like, that will burn in different amounts of time depending on, like, what this person's schedule is, and it's very well planned.
Yeah. So, anyways, I was mad at the Telegraph because I feel like their information was incomplete and promoting kind of, like, the wrong side of the story. Like, I feel like that should be a cautionary tale, not a tale of being like, hey, it's normal and this is the only way you can be an elite athlete, because you definitely can be an elite athlete and have a healthy relationship with your body and food.
Why are people dumb? We may never know. But I feel like British tabloids are just so fucking mean.
Is that a British tabloid?
What's it called again? The Telegraph?
The Telegraph?
I assume that all tabloids are British. Besides, like, the New York Post.
Have you ever seen People magazine? That's definitely
100%
American. I thought
that was a celebrity
American.
Magazine.
Yeah, that's a tabloid, though.
Oh, I thought, like, tabloids
were... Do you not
consider ones...
that tabloid?
I thought the tabloids were the ones that are like, JFK's not really dead. Elvis found alive. Michael Jackson seen in the backseat of his daughter's car.
So it sounds like to you a tabloid is just full of conspiracy theory.
Or, like, I don't know. I feel
no
like there's
I just
so
thought it was
mean
like
to Meghan Markle. Like, I don't know what she's really like, but I feel like they're so mean to her.
I feel like that, yeah.
Like, maybe
I would
she's
say
a little
any
bit
magazine.
Mean. Like, if she's, like, a little bit mean, then, like, okay, maybe she deserved a little bit of, like, people being mean to her. But, like, that was crazy. Like, people were so mean to her. Like, yeah, no one deserves that much mean.
I don't think anyone deserves any mean, but well, if someone's that might mean, just me be living in an ideal called out, fantasy. You know?
Like, if someone's a jerk.
Yeah, but, like, calling out tabloids does nothing, unfortunately.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if she, like, did one thing that was bad.
Oh, you're saying if she did some... Well, but I don't know, like, if she's done it. I don't know. I don't
exactly. We don't know. Like, if she did one thing bad, then we'd be like, okay, yeah, like, someone called her out on it. Whatever. But, like, she was existing. She just was alive. And they were like, she's alive! Ah! Ah! She looks different than me! Ah!
Yeah.
Curses. Anyway, fuck you, tabloids.
Okay.
Moving on.
Next up, I have TikToks. So.
TikTok on the clock. DJ Boomer's be good tonight.
I definitely thought the TikTok was going to go off and, like, that was going to be awkward. But, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to shortly take a break to re-listen to these. And then through magical editing skills, I will then explain the TikTok that we watched just to kind of, like, I don't know, protect the confidentiality of, like, people that are posting these.
All right, guys. So basically this video has subtitles, so I'm going to read them to you. And this lady says, this is the science behind why we overeat. There's a hormone discovered in 1949 called leptin, and it's what tells your brain to stop eating. And they found this gene mutation in some mice that lack the gene that makes leptin. And then, like, so they had no leptin, and then they just got fatter. So then people were like, oh, so if leptin makes us stop eating, let's just take some leptin, right? But then they found out that people who are overweight, quote unquote, have even more leptin than people with a quote unquote normal BMI. So, like, they're saying leptin is produced by fat cells, but there's something blocking leptin from being recognized in our brains, which is, like, insulin. So insulin, obviously, most of us know this, is what is released into our bloodstream to allow our cells to use the glucose, which is like sugar. So when we eat these sugary foods, our insulin spikes and it blocks the leptin that tells us we are full. So if we keep eating and our insulin gets higher and it keeps blocking the leptin, and it's a vicious cycle, Marie, that keeps us from being satiated and full. Oh, the horror. So she's, like, reading this book called, no, I'm not even going to say what it's called. It's a scam. She's reading this book, and her caption is, healing my binge eating with books and therapy. Okay. Cool. Good luck to you, woman.
Yeah. So, in, like, kind of summation, I guess, like, basically, and this book, I've seen this book, too, in the past. I've never read it. But I did not like the videos that people have made on it. Like, describing how, like, it helped their binge eating. But basically, what I'm hearing and what she's positing, or the book is positing, is that intake of sugary foods causes your insulin to spike, and insulin can inhibit leptin from being recognized in the body, i.e. you don't feel full. So basically creating this, what I feel like is kind of a fear-mongering association between eating foods with quote-unquote high sugar content, sugary foods, and binge eating, right? As if, like, you know, kind of on this biological level, simply eating foods that are sugary are going to cause binging. I have many a problem with this.
I do love, though, like, some of her comments are, like, flipping, oh, my God, you're so smart. Like, wow. Like, oh, my God. But then, like, scroll down a bit. This girl's like, I found help with intuitive eating and embracing haze. And this other girl's like, at Find Food Freedom. Please check her out.
Aw. I mean, I am glad for the supportive recovery warriors leaving a comment. For sure. But I was ready to pick a fight with my, this is tangentially related, with my addictive behaviors professor, because she tried to talk about sugar addiction and food addiction. And I just think that, like, line of thinking is so incredibly flawed. Like, if we want to compare eating disorders to addiction, which it has been several times, right? I feel what you would consider is the quote-unquote addictive part of an eating disorder is not the food, right? We all know this. It's not about the food. What is the issue? The issue is the behavior, right?
It's you.
No.
Maybe it's you.
The issue is not you.
It's your brain. It needs help. Your brain needs some help. Help, says your brain. Help me. Help.
I'm giving Gianna weird looks. I disagree.
Eating disorder is not about the food, guys. It means that there's something else happening in your life, and you need to figure that out and get some help for it.
That's a better response than saying you're the problem. Great.
I'm wiggling my eyebrows now.
Okay. Anyways, what was I saying? So, yeah. So basically, I think a lot of times we like to pretend that food is the issue and that food is the one that's addictive and people are addicted to. And I'm sure, like, that narrative resonates with a lot of people. So I half apologize if I'm being invalidating. But I really think, like, if we were to really look at the issue, I feel like the people that would describe themselves as having a food addiction are dealing with a bunch of, I guess, kind of like what Gianna was saying, dealing with a bunch of underlying issues, and are more likely to probably be better diagnosed with having, you know, an eating disorder or engaging in disordered behaviors around food that has nothing to do with, like, the makeup of food itself. Like, food is neither good nor bad, no matter how it's made up, no matter, like, its nutritional value, if you will. And I think the rhetoric often comes, like, in the situation, like she was describing, she's saying, well, you don't know if you're full, if your insulin spikes because of intaking sugary foods. It seems like the logical conclusion would be to take away the sugary foods. But as anyone that has binged before knows, like, that's a very temporary solution and not a solution that, like, in the long term combats, like, the mental restriction or the physical restriction that, like, contributes to binge eating, like, persisting, right? So, I don't know. That, like, narrative really, like, angers me. I'm sure, like, for this person, it might, like, feel so comforting and they might feel so in control because they figured out, like, what the problem is. But, like, at the end of the day, like we've been saying, if it's not about the food, that means that there's other things that are going on for you that, you know, you're probably struggling with, and those need to be addressed. And I feel like more restriction is not the answer. And I feel like the research points to that more than, like, the neuroscience of how leptin works in the body.
Yeah, and, like,
you know,
I just feel like she's not even, like, a doctor or anything, so she shouldn't be sharing this information.
I mean, I feel like, I'll play devil's advocate we're not doctors either, yet we're sharing like our experience. Like, I think she's sharing what she reads in a book, and like, unfortunately, you're going to trust people that declare themselves as experts. I mean, that's honestly like how diet culture is so pervasive as well. Like,
I just feel like you and I are telling, we're just like, we're telling people like, love yourself, like be kind, whatever. And she's like, stop eating sugar.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, she didn't say that directly in her video. So I think like, that's a personal leap that I'm making to like generalize the video.
It was implied though.
Yeah, it feels very implied.
Especially throughout the comments.
Right. Exactly. And that's like, what's so upsetting about it. Cause I know like a lot of people approach binge eating, overeating, so like, to clarify, there's also a difference with that, like approach those things in like similar ways, and I think there's like plenty of people who share like our perspective, and that you know, restriction only furthers that issue, but there's also plenty of people who like just so desperately want to be able to control food because they feel like they have zero control around it, so to blame food seems like the more logical conclusion to them. Which, like, I get that, because, like, I've been in place, you know, but I ultimately, like, I don't think that's, you know, helpful to living the most mentally and physically healthy life possible.
No, absolutely not. And, like, especially, I feel like some of my, actually, kind of, like, tying it back earlier, my most, like, how do you say, undernourished times have been when I was in a binging cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. That's, like, when I've gotten the most injuries, when I've felt the worst. And it's, like, you're, like, oh, but I can't stop eating. Like, when?
Mm-hmm.
The times when you're uncontrollably eating all the foods that you're afraid of, or, like,
right. Know, like,
when are you getting nourished then?
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, sending lots of love to the person that made that video.
Good luck.
She's okay.
I'm going to look at the page. I want to see what happened to her. We will not be disclosing, again, this people's personal hashtags. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, Minnesota. We're not going to disclose it.
Sorry.
It's like my favorite Uncle Brian. It's not even related to me, but I do love him very much. Go, Brian. Anyways, he's from Minnesota. He's my dad's frat brother.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways, but because we don't want, you know, any negative harm to come to these people, we just would like to discuss, like, why we're angered.
Yeah, she's definitely not the first person to share that information. She's definitely not going to be the last person. So the commentary is not really directed towards her, but more so at that concept of, like, a food addiction in general. Because I firmly believe, based on taking 2 addictive behaviors classes, which does not make me an expert, but I do feel like I know a thing or two, that
she's
eating disorder
a
behaviors.
Aw. She's a mom. Oh, I hope she doesn't pass these messages to their children.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh my god, wow, her children spilled so many chips in her car. Sorry. How I will never have a child.
Rip.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want to move on to the next video?
Okay. Should I read the next one?
Yeah. This one also, I think, has captions.
Here we go. Okay. It says, I have this ice cream in my house.
Why are you reading it like that?
I can't stop thinking about it. And then the not client, the other person says, what if it's not a lack of control? And she's like tapping, like, like mysteriously tapping her face. And then the client is like, what do you mean it's not a lack of control? If I could control myself, I wouldn't be fixated on it. And then the not client says, neurodivergent people often struggle with disordered eating. 30% of BED people, binge eating disorder people, have ADHD. And then the client says, and then the therapist / provider says, so that lack of control is hyper-focus associated with low dopamine makes it harder to shift gears. Interesting. Client says, so I'm not just out of control? And then the provider says, definitely not out of control. And then that's the end. Guys, just so you know, I am an actor, an actor. I had to do it.
Round of applause for that beautiful reenactment.
I see the faces. Like, y'all couldn't see it, but, like, I thought my face looked pretty good.
Yeah. I'll test.
Anyways, okay. That was interesting. I watched it before, obviously, but
yeah.
I read all the words very carefully because I was reading them out loud. I was like, wow, that does kind of make sense.
Yeah, so, interestingly, not why I'm not angry at this for any of the information that was, like, spread, because I think that this is a new, well, I could be wrong, but I do think it's kind of, like, an emerging, like, field of study, like, the relationship between, particularly, I would say, ADHD and different eating disorders. I don't think it's obviously not entirely new about the idea of neurodiversity in relation to eating disorders, particularly ARFID, because for a lot of people that's related to sensory issues, which are more prominent in neurodevelopmental disorders. I don't know if that's accepted among the autistic community, but that's what is categorized in the DSM. Anyways, what I'm speaking about is like autism and autism spectrum disorder and ADHD in particular. But so particularly with the ADHD, like the whole low dopamine thing being an issue for people with ADHD. So then engaging in like eating as a form of stimulation, also because naturally how your body responds to food is by an increased dopamine, right? Like obviously eating is a necessary function in your life. So in order for your brain to be like, let's keep doing this, it needs to result in an increase of dopamine, which is kind of like a part of your reward system so that you keep doing it, right? If eating food wasn't pleasurable, we wouldn't do it. Kind of. Right. So basically, bottom line, it genetically makes sense to have a increased dopamine response to eating food. And this is kind of related to the first video, is a lot of the rhetoric that's used for like why food is addictive is because the like dopamine response is similar to that of drugs, or so it's been positive or
shown for studies. It's a drug.
I hate that rhetoric, though, because, like, it's normal. Like, that's a normal cause of an increase of dopamine. So I don't know why we're
demonizing food as a result of that. I read this thing that was, like, a lot of people with ADHD love chocolate. And, like...
lives proof right here.
I love chocolate. And the reason that it... like, mm-hmm. I really like it. Like, I like the flavor, but, like, my brain apparently really likes it is because it has caffeine and, like, the dopamine and the stimulant. So it's, like, it keeps me alert and it also makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
So my brain's like, yes, please have some more. And I'm okay.
Yeah. So I think, like, this new area of research is super interesting.
Good to know.
Yeah, and I obviously, you can speak to it. I can't speak to it in terms of, like, if, you know, the videos like this kind of brings you any sense of comfort in terms of, like, knowing that, like...
it makes me feel like, wow, everything, like, I've experienced wasn't just a weird me thing. Like, mm-hmm. I remember in high school and, like, in college, like, sometimes I would have time to eat breakfast before, or, like, in high school, you weren't really supposed to eat snacks in class. But, like, LOL. College, I would eat my breakfast in class because I wouldn't be able to stay focused if I wasn't eating while I was doing it. Or, like, you know, in high school, like, I had to be eating a snack during class or, like, right before to, like, stay alert in class. And it's, like, it's not like I didn't sleep. I mean, was I sleeping a lot in high school? Maybe not. Like, I don't know what I was doing. But I really would not sleep. Anyways, so, like, it just makes sense. Like, things, like, why do I really, really like chocolate? Like, yes, I do like it, but, like, I don't like candy. Like, I don't really like candy.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't really make sense, things.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
yes.
Sorry, taking a second to process.
I mean, at least yeah. process things. I feel like things just come out of my mouth, and I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
That's okay. That could just be another ADHD thing.
It might just be a four jobs thing.
That's too. It's late. We've been gone for a while. But, yeah, so, I think, like, this area of research is obviously like really interesting to kind of further look into that connection because that, you know, like on a personal, like I have my social worker hat on kind of level. Obviously that's going to kind of inform like what care looks like and treatment and things like that in order to make it more specialized and individualized to everybody. But, and then also like, I guess not, but, and at the same time, you know, for people that have ADHD, this video might be able to be comforting to some because it reminds them, like, you know, it's not your fault, like, that you're, you know, you might be overeating or eating when you're bored or, you know, things like that. This might just be, like, a natural response that you do. But obviously, as I had the question and many people in the comments had the question of, well, what do you do with this information, right? Like, most people...
Because you could just feel good about it. Be like, yeah.
Well, but unfortunately, because we live in the diet culture, fat phobia world, what is going on in this recording? Gianna, did you turn this on? This is so confusing. What just happened?
I was just trying to send you a chat message.
What are you even sending me?
I just had a question and I wanted to ask you.
Oh, is it a little? Sorry, I like came up on the screen. I was like, what is going on? Skype is infiltrating our thing. Oh my god. I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm gonna continue. You can cut that out.
Forget it. I'm gonna cut this out.
Okay. Also, yeah, don't do that. We have an audience of two. You don't need to be asking them for money.
What if I'm like, I'll show you a picture of my naked butt?
No. Worry about your OnlyFans a different time. Okay. Write this number down so we can resume. Anyways. So, obviously, like, a lot of people had the same question that I did in the chat of, like, well, what do you do with this? And because we have live in a society, like, with diet culture and fat phobia reigning supreme, like, most people don't want to be overeating or eating, quote-unquote, bad foods and things like that. So, you know, someone asked a question, how do you treat low dopamine? I do have ADHD. I love how they phrase that. That's so cute. I do have ADHD. And so, you know, they have a couple things like, you know, get good sleep, exercise, have some nutrition advice that, like, I don't really feel like sharing. And this is the person that made the video. But then she also said, avoiding processed foods has been proven effective. Sorry, it was written weird, so grammar and English. And for me,
it's like a three-part series.
Is it really? Oh, maybe yeah. We should have watched the other ones, or we can follow up on it. But I think, like, I have the same issue with this that I have with like the first video. Is like,
yeah.
So your solution is, I don't know. She's really saying like, getting dopamine through food is bad. I don't say that she's positing that, but she's also saying, like, if you avoid processed foods that people with ADHD might be more likely to binge on or overeat because they're searching, their brains are searching for dopamine, and her solution is then get rid of those foods.
I mean, her other video
mm-hmm.
on it is, like, saying, what's it called? Like, when you have it, the reason that people often are seeking out food is because it's a very instant thing. And it's like, if you keep trying not to, if you keep focusing on it more, then you're, like, gonna want it more. So she's saying, like, honor your hunger in the moment in her other videos.
Great. So I'm so glad she clarified that then. Now,
like,
I have.
She seems like she's a meetup person.
Oh. Like, well.
I mean, that's a separate problem.
Yeah.
But, like, she's like, when you. Because a lot of times, and this happens to me, like, when I become very overwhelmed, also, I don't want to eat anything. Because it's like, it's too. Like, I can't choose anything. Like, I can't. I'm. It's too much. And then she's saying, like, well, when that happens, then your blood sugar gets so low.
Yeah.
And then it, like, it gets all crazy, crazy. And then, sorry, I'm reading the little captions. Because, like, whatever, whatever. So then you can't even decide what to eat when you're so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Or you have, like, a lot of thoughts in your brain. And then you can have an emotional meltdown, and then you'll lead to a binge because you're so physically and emotionally hungry.
Interesting. Have you ever experienced something like that?
You love to ask them good questions. Yeah, like, I experienced that a lot in college. Luckily, you know, like, in the last... Once I left SUNY Purchase, I have not had a binging episode since I left school.
Woo! Nice.
I wonder what it was that was causing me so much overwhelming anxiety.
Right.
Just
couldn't figure that
out. What are the factors that changed in my life since I left school and now?
Right.
Could it be just the brick walls designed by someone who designed prisons as classrooms?
Oh, no.
Could it be a lack of support from an entire faculty? Who knows? Who knows? Who will ever know?
Mm-hmm.
But now, luckily, like, when I am feeling too overwhelmed to eat, like, I kind of have, and, like, I don't know how you feel about it, Marie, like mm-hmm. safe foods for me, like, that I know I'll always need to eat, like, even though I try not to eat them all the time, I try to vary my diet.
I think that's totally valid if you need to rely on safe foods in order to get nutrition into your body.
Yeah, I'm like, for sure. Know. Even, like, and I also know that's, like, a common thing of people with ADHD, that they just like to eat the same foods over and over,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely true for me. I don't think that's a bad thing or a good thing.
Yeah, so, I mean,
vegetables and mostly mushrooms. Yes, maybe I should eat other vegetables as well.
Mm-hmm.
And onions. That's just what I really like right now. And then in 2 months, it will be something different.
See, that's the thing, too, though. Like, in terms of, like, varying your nutrition, if you're really even at the stage where you're not worrying, I guess concerned or mindful of such things, like,
yeah.
You can never look at things on, like, a day-to-day basis. You really have to make it more broad than that in order, like, to ensure, know, that, like, your diet's diverse, I guess.
Do you know that, like, TikTok feta pasta?
Yeah.
I've made that, like, a lot? 4 times in the last, like, month.
Amazing.
It's just so easy to make. I have to do no work, and I have to wash one dish. Okay.
Oh, brilliant. That is good. Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess, like, in terms of the video, I do stand by my previous statement that, like, I don't really like the philosophy of, like, well, you just need to only keep quote-unquote good foods around, and, like, quote-unquote bad foods can't be in the house kind of thing.
No, because, like, you obviously drive to the freaking grocery store and buy it. It's not like, you know.
Mood, yes, that is so true. But I do appreciate, like, the clarification of, like, what's probably best is to, like, instead of, it sounds like maybe there's a bit more of, like, a propensity to kind of get stuck in, like, the mental restriction cycle, when you have ADHD, if you're kind of like denying yourself to like have things, you know, as you crave it, and to like just be able to kind of give yourself permission.
She seems like a really like mindful eating, like emotional eating coach, which is kind of, I don't know how I feel about that statement, but like she is someone who supposedly is in recovery.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
Good luck, ma'am. Good luck to you.
Yeah. I guess, like, the kind of bottom line of what it comes down to for me is, like, clearly there's a lot of nuances when it comes to, like, recovery and, like, what works for people and what doesn't. I definitely am of the firm stance that, like, anything that's really rooted in diet culture or, like, moralizing foods and things like that is not helpful to recovery overall and long term. And I think those are things that need to be worked on. But, you know, it's really easy when those are the pervasive narratives to fall into that trap or end up kind of promoting those things.
Side note, this woman in her video just put the pistachio with the shell into her mouth and chewed it. She did not de-shell it.
Maybe she de-shelled it in her mouth.
Okay, her teeth are doing an excellent job de-shelling
the pistachio. It's like a one of those skills, like tying a knot of a cherry stump. Yes!
I'm really good at that, just so you know.
Amazing.
I just like a little snake tongue.
That's disgusting.
It's getting late.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's all we have for you guys today, if you want to share any of your thoughts on kind of the topics that we talked about. I know we kind of had to talk about them in like a vague and roundabout way, because you obviously cannot watch these TikTok videos with us. But feel free to send us a DM at Zero.
If you see a TikTok video that you're like, that is a no for me, like if you're like, this sucks, we also want to see that, because we will talk about it and we will back you up. We'll be like, girl, you're so right, or like, man, or like, you person, you are so right. Like, we're really good cheerleaders. Like, no school spirit, but like personal cheerleaders, absolutely.
I just
remembered the other day when I was in sixth grade, I was on the dance team in middle school. I had pom-poms. I wore the flared yoga pants. I thought it was cool. I was not. Just gonna throw that out there. Thanks, guys. You guys are the best. Thank you for listening. Yeah. I feel like we're starting to like get a little community going and like make some friends on the internet world, and like we're super, super grateful for people that have been like listening and like, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for y'all. Yeah, thanks for all your support. We definitely appreciate it. Thank you for dealing with this more scattered episode as we just speak freely of what's on our minds. And we will catch you next week.
Yep, so you can follow us on Instagram at @ZeroFromTheBox. You can email us ZeroFromTheBox@gmail.com. You can find me, Gianna Bartolini, on Instagram. And then if there's anything else you want us to talk about, like, please let us know, and we would love to. Or if you want to be friends, like, we both want friends. Friends are good. I mean, internet friends are good in the time of corona. So, yep. Bye.
Bye.